Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. We're listening again, once again, brother, to Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, and my co-host is Sister Khalila Ali. And I'm sure she has a very exciting thing to tell you. I was just in Chicago with her family, her wonderful son. And she's broadcasting from the studio in Miami, Florida, where I suspect it's probably 20 below zero. I'm hoping that it's cold there, but I know for a fact that it's probably 80 degrees or more. We're here in New York, New Jersey area, and it's cold, but we have a warm heart, and we're waiting for our honorable and noble sister to come forth, and she'll come forth with an opening statement. As I was stating earlier, we were just in Chicago at the Mosque Cares headquarters. We delivered an address, and we were just waiting for Sister Khalila. You can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. That is 727-7013. And we are happy to have you on the guest. Is Sister Khalila in yet? Well, while we wait her coming, I'm going to read some announcements. And okay. I'd like to announce the annual Savior's Day, sponsored by the Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, invite you to Savior's Day. This will be February the 23rd at the Chicago Marriott Midway Airport. It's 6520 South Cicero Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. Discount lodging rates. Mention the Mosque Cares, $119. The doors open at 11 a.m. The banquet is at 6 p.m. And there will be the Juma prayer service Friday, 222nd at the Mosque Cares building, 929 West 171st Street, Hazelhurst, Illinois. The khatib will be Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad of the Masjid El Haq in Newark, New Jersey.
You call me this? I'm stupid. My phone.
Hello,
all right.
Mr. Khalil Ali, is this?
Hello?
Yvonne, you can't talk
Hello?
On a radio show.
Sister Khalila?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Peace be on you, and welcome to Religion Means Alive, and you can just boom up and spool Miami speed. I'm going to go at Chicago speed, which is probably 20 degrees. I'm back in New York and very happy to be back. But we will, Sister Khalil, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum, my dear brother. How are you today?
Alaikum assalam. I'm freezing. It is cold. Tell me that it's 20 below zero in Miami. It'll make
no
me feel
way,
better.
No way. All I can say is the sky is blue. The clouds are white, the boats is in the water, and the palm trees are swinging.
Oh, you just rubbing it in. We're going to ship you back to Chicago. What is your stuff? You will be coming to Chicago for your birthday?
I don't know about that right now. It was a thought, but it's only a thought now. So I don't think I want to join you guys out there because March is usually the most treacherous month of the year in Chicago. March going into April is really, it's like you never know what's going to happen. You know, you don't know if it'll be 20 inches one day and then the sun will come out, it'll melt 5 inches and then more. Now, see, you guys got away with it last year. It wasn't so bad. This year you got it. I'm not gonna go there. I don't plan on going for no season.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so what's on your mind for today?
My dear brother, I just want to say I hope all my friends are listening. I talked to my mom. I hope she's listening, and my dad. And, you know, God willing, next week I'll have some celebrity guests on my show, and I'll be able to share, you know, knowledge with them, and they can share their knowledge with all of us. And I think if somebody would call in and give us a special subject so you can be a part of the show, it's very interesting when a lot of people come together and they talk on things they want to hear about. So instead of me just saying something, I can start out with saying we have to, the subject for me today would be how to respect your parents. And this is not for kids. We're talking for grown folks. We're talking about grown people not respecting their parents. Okay? We're not talking about children. We're talking about grown people as well. And the grown people, adults, by them aging in life, learning in life, every time they arise out of their beds every morning, they come to a challenge to learn something every day. So it is really a shame for anybody to be older than a teenager, being an adult, and they still do not respect their parents. They don't get along with them. They won't get along with them. They don't try to get along with them. They keep doing the same things they do all the time. And I think it's time for somebody to pull their coattails and tell them, stop, this is not the way to do things. It doesn't matter if your parents are not like you. It doesn't matter if they didn't agree with you with everything you wanted. It doesn't matter about that. The most important thing is the fact that Almighty God has blessed them to be the vessel in which we all came through. That is a tremendous blessing. You was chosen by God Himself, Almighty God, to come through you physically, through pain, suffering, sacrifice, to get here in the first place. A lot of times the pregnancies wasn't always good or a happy one. Sometimes people were sickly. Sometimes you had to sacrifice taking things that you're not supposed to take in order for that child to come out healthy. Even though you have been born into this world through that process, that total process is an ultimate blessing. And you might not look at it that way. It's not easy being a mother or a father. It's not easy. It's very hard. Now, when you lose sight of that blessing, this is when you start having complications. You have to back up. A lot of times we argue with our parents on something small, something intricate. And, you know, you have to sometimes say, well, you know, if my mother don't think that way, we know she don't think this way. She don't like this way. Or she wouldn't do it that way. So, you know, you tend to try to hate somebody because they're not in accord with the way you want to think or feel or act. Each individual person is different, and each individual person chooses things in life differently, you know, as opposed to the mother, how she chooses her life. And different circumstances make mothers make different choices. Even if to those who were or probably born and wasn't planned to be born, and they gave it up for adoption because they knew they couldn't handle it. This was a choice that mother had to make. And it's not always a bad choice because, you know, the circumstances she was going through at the time. Okay, so, you know, it can be very hard. Sometimes it could be beneficial for the child to be with another person because they can either take care of it better or could afford it. This is the choice mothers make. I mean, and it's not always bad choices. So you don't know what her choices were. You don't know what her reasons were. But the fact of it is, you came through her as a blessing to Almighty God's His choice. And His choice is the ultimate choice. Everything in life is handled by God Himself. God has a hand in everything. Everything that happens, God has a hand in it. And things come out the way they're supposed to come out. That's the way it's just supposed to be. And you have to accept that as a being a part of life. And you have to give your mother respect. I don't care if your mother is a drug addict, an alcoholic. She might even have, she might be bipolar. She might be something she cannot control. So you cannot judge a person by what they do. All you know is the fact that it came through you, and that was an ultimate and a blessing from Almighty God. And we were trying to get people to submit and subside the differences and calm down and talk kindly and talk warmly to that person. Now, you got some mothers out there that's pretty raunchy. They're rough, and they have issues, and they don't do what they're supposed to do. So in order for something like that to work out, and they probably don't know how, this is why we have discussions. This is why we have to talk to one another and learn another side of a subject or an element in order to learn something from it. Maybe we can do better by learning somebody else's experiences. And this is why I say to all that the penalty for disrespecting your parents, especially the ones that God has blessed you to come through, this is a very bad decision when you disrespect your parents. Okay, so you got to because you will be punished. You will be punished greatly in your future. Something might not go wrong with your life. Something just tragic might happen, and it's going to be because of the way you treated and respected your parents. And all children should know this. You can always learn from your parents. They might not be the king and queen of England. They might not be the richest people in the world, but God will give them some kind of sign to help you, to give you some kind of a word that might trigger something in you that make you come to your senses. You know what I'm saying? So children as well as adults, and adults is the worst because the adults have a tendency for holding grudges. And your grudges, when they accumulate over a span of time, they're actually not grudges anymore. They're sins. These are sins that you do not want to be in your life. You do not want to have these in your life. Okay? So
now, what would you say to a child, Sister Khalila, that didn't grow up with their mother, their mother abandoned them, and it was an adopted. What would you say to that person?
Well, what I would say to that person is the fact that, listen, you were blessed to be born. Your mother and father is out there somewhere. And you know, and you see, when you ask God to show you, to open that door to my parents, to open my that door to so I'll know what happened. When you ask for that, then a lot of people don't ask for that. You'd be surprised. They don't ask for it. They don't ask. They just judge what they think that happened and then go with it. But you, a lot of times, see, it, they don't realize the blessings of being born alive, period, is a blessing in itself. So whatever happened to the parents, if they didn't happen, we have mothers and fathers that we learn from every day. We learn from people we grow up with. They can tend to be like a mother or a father to you. And it's we as a people help each other by taking on a relationship or life or history that will guide that person. Because God will always give somebody to guide you, whether you have your mother or father or not. He's always going to put somebody there to guide and help you. Because, see, you are in this world. You're growing. You're growing every day. So you have to want to learn. You have to want to know what happened. You want to know and thank God for any kind of knowledge that comes to you to make you a better person. To make you a better person. So those people who don't have children, mother, yes, they do. They have mothers and fathers all over the place. They just don't recognize them or see it as that. Because, see, every individual has power from God to see the light for themselves. And God will always open the door for you to see. You will always let it happen. You will always open that door to see. It happens to everybody, whether they want to recognize it or not, and they push it out the door or not. It's always there. God will always put somebody there for you. And he is there for you. He can actually guide you. He can guide you like he guided Moses, like he guided Jesus, like he guided. God guides you just like he guides prophets. Don't think you're any less than that, because you're not. You're a blessing. You are existing in life. He created a human being, which was one of his perfect creations. Now, if anybody that is part of his creation has a blessing in life and will learn on its own with the help of others, whether they want to recognize this as help from others or not, but they will learn from other people. A lot of people say, well, my mother and father didn't raise me, but I was raised up by my grandma. I was raised by my grandma. Well, she was like a mother and father to you. So doesn't that tell you that God gave signs? How many people who are orphans and they go to different mothers and fathers, that might not be the biological mother, but they'll be their spiritual mother or father. Some people who are grown, once they get out on their own, they learn on their own. They say, well, you know, I did just about everything on my own. Well, that's not true, because you have learned and been in contact with somebody in this world that has helped and assisted you, whether you realize it or not. Okay? So you're not really alone when you're here. You are always in contact with somebody. But your choices are your own. You make your own choices. A lot of times you say, well, you know, I've been hanging around these bad people and I just do what they do. Well, I'll tell you what. You can hang in a group with bad people, but when you go to jail, who goes into jail? The person who gets caught, that's who goes to jail. Or that, then you can't blame it on the people you're with. You have to blame it on yourself because you made the choice. Whether you were provoked or whatever, you still had to make a choice. If somebody want to shoot somebody, they make that choice. If somebody want to learn something from somebody, they make that choice to learn from that person. And then, you know what, I do not like the fact that, you know how they say when you grow up, my father was a murderer, or my father was then I'm going to end up being like that and all that. You know what I'm saying? It's not true. That's false. I don't believe in that psychology crap to tell you about that. That's not true. A person who is one could be living one life, and he can just say a man grows up and his father was a drunk. Now, he turns out to be a drunk like his father because that's what he accepts to be like. His choice is made. Then you might get the one that says, I'm not going to be anything like this person because I want to be better than that person. So I'm going to clean myself up. And don't go that way. It's still you making choices. See how it is? You're making the choices. It's not embedded in you that just because this people do this way and that means you're going to do the same thing. No. Every individual makes a choice. Everybody makes a choice. You always make your choice. When you get older, you make more choices. Now, can you imagine a grown man hating his mother and father for many, many years for some ridiculous incident and just holds a grudge for that for the rest of their life? That's sinful. That person's going to have a lot of problems in their life. I mean, big problems. You're going to be punished for it. Yeah, you will. I caught myself. I was arguing with my mother one time. And I said, what am I doing? Am I stupid? Am I out of my mind hollering and screaming at my mom? I must be out of my mind. I'm not going to do that. I refuse. I said, look, she wants things to be done a certain way. Fine. That's just her. But I'm not going to do it that way because I'm me. And I said, Mommy, you know what? I understand that. And I'm not going to argue with you. Now, I apologize for arguing with you and screaming at you, I should never do that. I'm sorry. I apologize. And I just made it my business not to ever do that again. And if I disagree with someone, I just don't agree with that. But I understand what you're saying, and just move on, and just submit and compromise with that, and go to the next thing. You know what I mean? That's the only way you can actually get along with somebody. You have to submit. You have to submit and say, no, I'm not going to be that person. That's the way she is. That's the way she is. But you know what? You can learn a lot about someone because sometimes, most of the time, they're right. You know, they're right. They might not know how they're right, but they're right. And they can be right or they can be wrong. But you know, why must you argue with them? These are your blessings that God has given you for this. You know, you're missing the point here. You know, and you have to make the right, you have to say, you know, a lot of people let egos and pride get in their way and they just destroy themselves with that. They destroy themselves with pride. They destroy themselves with evilness. They destroy themselves with egos, like they got to have the last word or they got to have the last statement. I mean, you know, come on, what's with that? That's petty. That's some low-down, petty, ignorant talking. Just calm down and just back off. Back off. You see a person ain't going to change their mind. Back off and just say, well, it's not worth to lose the friendship. It's not worth to lose the respect. So say, okay, I understand. Right on. Keep on going. You know what I'm saying? You've got to learn to back off and relax. And say, look, I'm not going to scream and holler, or you're not supposed to ever raise your voice over your parents. No matter what the situation is, you have to talk and discuss it in an intelligent manner. It could be the person, your mother or father. It could be the person that has authority over you, or you're under their roof. You know, you have to respect whose roof you're under. That's just respect. Okay. I don't hear nobody calling in. Anybody calling in?
No, they are not calling in. I think they're listening. Are your friend from Florida? She's with everybody's with, and you can join the conversation by dialing 805. Well, we got a caller right now. Okay. Caller, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I am a friend of Sister Kalila's. Sister Isla.
Sister Isla, you can speak with Sister Kalila.
Yes, Sister Kalila.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Aziz. This is Sister Isla Aziz. She's one of my guests that I was supposed to have on the show. Since we're on the show today, I'm going to use her as my guest, Brother Imam. Sister Isla Aziz is a writer, director, and stage performer. She's also a person who produces and directs plays, and they're just beautiful. She has a history of plays, the things she's done in the masjids and into public cultural centers. Sister Isla, we want to thank you for calling on our show, and I want you to tell the audience out there about your theater. What are you doing right now in your theater?
Well, Sister Kalila, the reason why I chimed in wasn't so much about my theater, but I was more interested in what you were saying about the parents and the birth, because my theater is about that. You know that. You know.
Yeah.
The Theater of Creative Consciousness of the Arts, Inc. is about combating the negative influences that affect our youth and our adults. You know,
right. And
so that's the only type of plays that we do. And
what are you working on right now, Sister?
A Devastating Impact. It's about an 18-year-old virgin diagnosed HIV positive. And it's the cast is of 14 people. By the grace of Allah, without me even knowing it, the cast became international. So we have Antigua, we have India, we have Pakistan, we have Spanish, all that's in the cast, India. And we have Sister Kalila. She's also starring in it. And it's just to help our youth, because in the school system, I remember waking up like 3 o'clock in the morning and seeing this documentary where 25% of our youth have been diagnosed HIV positive. Well, I say that's not the truth, because you know, I'm sure they haven't counted them all and they haven't tested them all. So it got to be much more than that. So it is devastating. And we do have to get out there and help our youth.
Yes, ma'am.
You know?
Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am. Beautiful.
But it still stems from what you started the show with, Kalila, is that the parents, you know, respecting your parents. Because
yes, ma'am.
Our parents taught us to be virgins. You know that. You know,
yes.
Nowadays it's not that anymore. It's
right.
Not that anymore. Nobody's listening to the parents. And like you say, even if they make mistakes, you know, these children are saying, I'm calling the law on my parent. I'm doing this. I'm not listening to them. And, you know, it's like from that womb, that you, you know, the darkness that you come out of into the light that Allah has blessed us to be in, well, we continue to revolve around that all our lives. And Allah causes us to die and live and die and live and die and live. Well, that's that darkness. That's that womb. Even when we pray and we put our heads down, we go into that womb again. You see? So it's so relevant that we do respect our parents, because nobody, and I, you know, I don't have a parent, so I know for a fact, nobody in this world is going to love you as much as your mother and father. Nobody.
That's right.
And they're not going to tell you the truth like they tell you.
Right.
You know, our parents was the type of parents, they didn't care whether you liked them or not.
That's right.
You know that. You know, they was going to tell us the truth. We go mad, poking our mouths out, stomping our feet. So I've been not stomping too hard, but get a beat down. you know, they didn't care. They cared about us. They didn't care about what we thought about them, you know? And that's the way parents have to be strong with that. They have to be very strong. But know that these children that's making mistakes, the only reason why they're making mistakes is because we made mistakes, okay? And they're only following the path of what they see, and what they see is what they be. And so it's not really, really their fault. We just have to stand by them and love them and teach them. That's all, you know. And that's what the theater is about.
Hello.
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am. There was another guest that called in from Ireland. He was in Ireland, and he was trying to tell him to call on the talk show.
Oh, hum did he laugh.
Yes.
That's great.
So what, this time, we don't have people to ask to stop and talk and, you know, discuss these kind of things where people can at least hear some ideas that will help them, because you learn from each other. So this is, I'm glad that we're invited on the show that we can actually talk and express how we feel and express our experiences. And Sister Isla, about the HIV is that a lot of this can be could have been prevented if they would have listened. And a lot of times, just knowing something will prevent you from, you know, getting into a situation that is life-saving. And it's very detrimental. When they're young, when you're young, people get involved and they get so... It's like they're so vulnerable, you know, and when people say things that they always want to hear, they don't know they ever told them before, then they fall suit into that, and then they end up in trouble. So a lot of times these young people are taught, and a lot of times they have people have told them and warned them, but they will not listen. They're too busy trying to be grown.
But Sister Khalilah, that's because of the entertainment industry that rules society through negative influences. If you listen to the music that the children are listening to, the raps that they're listening to, the dances that they're doing now, you know, everything is a bump in the grind, you know. I mean,
yes.
Everything is free sex and, you know, and if you turn on the TV, I mean, you're looking at naked women and naked men. And, I mean, we never seen this as children. We never did. You know, so this is a different world. This is a whole different new world, you know. And our children are being influenced by the negative forces of the entertainment committee. I remember when Warf D. Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, told us to read the book Subliminal Subduction. And in Subliminal Subduction, they had all kinds of sex idols in the ice and in drinks, you know, in pictures that you couldn't see, you know. It was subliminally introduced to your mind through pictures of things that you eat.
So it's
really deep. And we don't have the money or the resources to combat these, because they don't want the type of things, you know, that we're doing, Khalilah, you know, like your book, you know, on manners, you know, that should, oh my God, that should be in every school. You see what I'm saying? But are we being supported, these plays? You know, we're not being supported by things like this. But you put I'm not gonna mention no names, but you put a sister out there butt naked, and she can get all the money in the world and dance all over the world.
That's true.
You understand what I'm saying? So that's the you know, we have a battle. That's all I can say. It's a jihad, but it's not, you know, where we're gonna kill nobody, but we just have to overpower and trust in Allah that he's gonna, well, I know and you know and everybody know who's gonna win the war. Who got the master plan, but we just have to keep fighting, my sister. We just have to keep strong fighting.
To fight, spread the knowledge, try to get information. And what, you know, what somebody, it's almost like, you know, learning the computer. Once somebody tells you the trick of the trade, I mean, you know, you get some information on a computer or something, they'll tell you how to operate a phone or anything like that. At first, before you know that, the thing looks strange to you. You don't even know what to do with it. But once you have information, and just learn something simple, how to do something, and you didn't know it before, it opens the door for you. So, it teaches just little information. Just sharing some kind of information will put some kind of light on any situation, on any subject. And it's not that difficult. It's just
knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. Just trying to get them to hear it. Just
Love Talk Radio.
But you know, Kalila, you know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of us think that we should be in Hollywood, you know, oh, that's the success. But the success is to be in your hood. Not Hollywood, but in your hood, teaching your children here, teaching the people around you, your community. And if each one of us dwell in and teach our community, we can change the world overnight if we all do that.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? We don't have to go to Hollywood to do it. We don't have to have the money that they have. You know, I've done, and you yourself, you know, you've done many things without money. And gave many lectures to people and been in many establishments and people listen to you, Sister Kalila, you know. Yeah. And I've done many plays. I've been all over the United States. You understand what I'm saying? We've done many big things, and we've done it without money. It's like we was on the magic carpet. You know, just riding around. Doing what we do. Doing what we do and being happy about it, you know, and not complaining, because we're not out there for to be a star. I don't want to be a star.
Yeah,
I
want to
be a human being. You know, I tell all the actors, you know, we don't have no stars here. You know, let's not go there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're on a mission.
That's right. There's a mission to be found.
Right.
You know, we have a lot of beautiful, innocent young people. They're searching for knowledge, and sometimes, you know, we just have to run across it or go out there as much as we can and try to spread as much information to them as possible. And a lot of times, information is spreading out there. I mean, how many times people have spread about AIDS and they still get caught in the situation? They got all the information. No use for the use of condom. They don't do it, and they still get caught every single time. And they have this information. Just like I said, these are the choices that these people are making, and they're and they're detrimental choices, and it's impacting their whole entire life.
And that goes back, Sister Kalila, to peer pressure.
That's right.
That goes back to what they're ruled by. You know, if you sit a child in front of a TV 24/7, what they gonna learn?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watched two little boys the other day, and the mom was speaking to me. They were two little friends, 7 years old, like that, and they just wrestling and hitting each other. I said, that's all they watch. That's all they see on TV. Every time, I don't care what cartoon I turn on, they fight. He told me, God, what are we teaching our children?
Have you ever seen that movie called Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yes.
With Robin Williams?
Yes.
And he made a stand in that movie because this guy was doing cartoons with the bird for smoking a cigarette.
Mm.
He said, I can't do this. I can't. The guy's choking on the cigarette. The kids want to be puffing cigarettes. And he had a point. He had a point about that. He did not support that, so he got fired. Got fired. He said, these kids are going to be looking at that, and it's just like, here, kids, take a cigarette, put it in your mouth, you know? And that's what that cartoon was telling these kids, and he refused to work on the show because the bird was smoking a cigarette, and he got fired. See, a lot of people must make a stand when you see somebody and you're working with a certain situation or whatever. You don't participate or support that. So that's why there are certain things you should support and certain things you shouldn't support. It makes it a better world, you know. Buddy, ma'am, do you want to have anything to say, a commercial or anything?
Yes, ma'am, I sure do. You want to invite our audience to listen this Sunday at 3 o'clock to Religion Means Alive. Our address will be on business this week. Also, next Sunday, we're going to have the president of Mosque Cares, President Wallace D. Muhammad II, the grandson of the Ahmadiyya Muhammad and the son of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And also, you can send your donations to Imam Albert Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. That is Imam Albert Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. And I now turn you back over to the hands of Sister Khalila Ali and her guest, the great playwright that's coming to a city near you, Sister Isla Aziz.
Yes, sir. Thank you, buddy, ma'am. Yeah, you was mentioning the son of the Imam Mawardi Muhammad. We all grew up, I saw them raise up as children. And it's beautiful to see them speaking out and doing their part in life and spreading information and knowledge of Islam. It's a lot of having all these people saying religion is right. You know what? I had a confrontation with a person about religion once. And first thing they say, I don't deal with religion. I don't talk about religion. I don't discuss religion, and I don't get involved in religion. And I said, no, why is that? I just don't do it. I don't do it. So the only thing is almost like people don't want to deal with religion because they either have experienced that it has failed them, or argue about it because they don't talk intelligently about it. Everybody has a religion. Everybody has a religion, and they fight over it. They quarrel. And religion is not to be quarreled over. It's something to be discussed and shared information. And religion means a lot because without religion, people don't have guidance. People don't have knowledge, their history of their spiritual world and their spiritual history and their spiritual and historical times of their beliefs, their wants and beliefs. Their religion is alive, and it means alive because it exists, and it will always be here, and it will always be there to guide someone. And religion means, if you know what religion means, it doesn't say what kind of religion, it just says religion. That is a form of belief. Anybody can learn from all religions so they can know the people. Know what the people, who the people is like. You know, it's a good, a lot of times people say, oh, well, you have your religion is Christianity. And most times they said, oh, if you're a good Christian, you know, this is good. But a lot of times people do not recognize there are other people in this world with just different beliefs. There's nothing wrong with people having different beliefs. And the only reason why that you don't like somebody's belief is the fact that you don't know anything about its belief to dislike. You go by hearsay, what that religion does, and all of this. The major religions, I feel it ain't but really two major religions, or three major religions, and I would say Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, al-Islam. Now, these are the three major religions. Now, all these religions believe in the supreme being, one God. Okay? All these people believe in one God, okay? So there's nothing wrong with where it comes from, what division, and all this belief in one God is a religion of peace and love. Each religion of this religion has peace and love. Now, they have a big conversation about Muslims being terrorism and everything, and that's bad because our religion does not have terrorism in it. Our religion does not have terrorism in it. Our religion doesn't. Now, there are people out there who are hiding behind our religion and being evil by wanting to kill somebody or hating somebody. And this is not my religion that I believe in. So I'm just going to make that clear to the people out there in the world who think all Muslims hate Jesus and hate God. And I'm telling you that right now, because I do not hate God, and I do not hate Jesus, and I do not hate Christians. So I want to get everybody to know this, that I love God, okay? I love the supreme being. You might call it Jesus, you might call it Jehovah, you might, whatever. The supreme being, I call them Allah. So get this through your head. We do not hate people. This is a religion. All these religions are made from peace. Now, you know the history of slavery. Everybody knows the history of slavery. They put the Jews in the slave. They burned them and killed them. They took the black people and made slaves and took them from Africa and brought them over here and terrorized them. And who is up under that umbrella? Christians. Now, this is what we know in today. No good Christian would have ever done nothing like that. Not a good one. No. But they have used the Bible saying black people is not a part of the Bible. The rednecks and all these southern hillbillies or whatever they call them, hated all black people. You think that's not a sign of terrorism? Of course it is. And what they use to say this, they put their Bible right before their face and say it. So, what kind of religion? Christianity, to my knowledge, does not do that. Okay? This is why I say, do you have different kinds of people that hate the other people that into the okay? So I'm just letting everybody know now. I'm not going to hold my tongue. I'm not going to hold back. I'm telling you how I feel. If you don't like it, it's just too bad. Because you need to read a book or open the door and try to find out information that you need to know. Because you get a lot of false information out there about Muslims. That Muslims. Oh, no. I had somebody the other day. I was in the hospital, and I heard him like, it sounded like Arabic. And I recognized it. I say, are you Arab? He says, I'm from Syria. I said, well, are you Muslim? He says, oh, hell no. Like that. I go, I don't believe he said that. That was unbelievable. Could not believe that man had the nerve. I said, well, I am a Muslim. Why would you want to say hell no? Because he doesn't have the correct information about something. Anytime you are ignorant to knowledge of something, this is your behavior. This is what behavior turns out to come out. So, you know, people need to read. People need to learn and not hear propaganda and media saying negative things. How can a religion hate people? I mean, what religion does that? It's not Islam. You Al-Islam, so you need to, you know, you need to open up a book to read. If you read all books, you'll fail to realize in the Holy Quran, there's nothing about hate in it at all. And you can get it anywhere in the world, and it will not teach you anything about hate. Hating Americans or hating Middle Eastern, it doesn't tell you that. It does not tell you to hate anyone in that book. Nor does
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
Sister Khalila, you know, when Warf bin Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, was living, he started the Unitarian, you know, wherein Christians, Jews, rabbis, Muslims all come together, and it's still going on, you know. I mean,
that's the folklore he's created.
Yes, and it's so beautiful because it's spread all over the nation, you know. It's spread, so we're coming together. It's just that some people that haven't heard the word, like you say, lack of knowledge, you know, they're going to say those things, but it's up to us to not get angry and know that it's lack of knowledge and love them anyway and teach them and come to them like, oh, okay, I understand where you're coming from, you know, but I was Christian, I was born Baptist. Oh, yeah, you say I got to come to Jesus. Oh, I did come to Jesus, but do that mean I have to stop there? Can I go on and learn more? Can I become a Muslim? Can I, you know, have more knowledge? You know, can I grow or should I stay in one spot? So then you're teaching them.
That's right.
You see
that's
what I'm saying?
That's why we have the air. This is why we're on the air.
Yes, so we tell them. You know, we tell them that, hey, we don't, you know, because most Christians do think we hate Jesus. So.
No, no problem. All of them do.
Well, not the ones that live here. They know better because I done taught them. And you teaching them every day, Khalila, because they love you so much in this complex. And there's 99 apartments, over 100 people. You have affected a lot of people here because you don't go around and say, hey, I'm Khalil Ali, I'm Muslim. You don't do that, but you say, hey, I love you, and hug them and everything, and they feel you, and they feel your love, but they know you're Muslim.
Yes, they do.
So we're teaching. We're
learning every day. They're learning every day by people like you and me. They've changed their mind. And they've changed their attitude about
thousands of sisters and brothers like us all over the world, Muslims.
That's
you know, they're doing the same thing. So it's growing. It's growing, alhamdulillah.
It's getting
better
and better every day. It's getting better and better every day.
Yes, ma'am.
Life is definitely a struggle for learning. Mm-hmm. It's a struggle for learning. It's a struggle for belief. And it's a struggle to accept things you said we see things in a different light.
Yes.
believe it or not, the Christians and the Muslims and the Jews all used to work back in the day together. They used to all work side by side. And you know what?
They're going to do it again.
They're going to do it again. It's going to come back around because history
mm-hmm.
always repeats itself. And it's
mm-hmm.
going to get better. It's going to be a better world. It's going to get better.
Look at the Jews that you and I be around and how
yeah.
much they love you. They got your picture plastered all over Deerfield, all in their restaurants, everywhere. They love you, Khalilah. You understand? So they don't care whether you Muslim. You know, they know you Muslim.
Yeah.
But you go in the restaurant, who you see? Khalil Ali up there. You know? So, I mean, you know, you go in the centers, who you see? Khalil Ali in the schools. Khalil Ali. So, you know, that there is teaching people that we have love in our hearts and we're not vain people. We're not vain. We don't think we're better than them. You know,
right.
everybody got something to teach, but until we, you know, get that cake, all those ingredients, because if you leave out the flour, it ain't going to be a cake. You leave out the milk, you leave out the eggs, it ain't going to rise.
Something's going to be missing.
Something's going to be missing. So we all, you know, we have to come to that point where we're going to have that round, pounded, tasty cake. You know, and inshallah, I pray to Allah be here to see it, but I, you know, but if I don't, I believe
Brother,
it's coming.
Thank you very much, sister. I enjoyed
we have hearing. We have an in-studio guest that would like to ask a question.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, sisters. I just needed to ask a question from the sister who's the filmmaker, and that was, as you know, there was a funeral today in Chicago where a little sister named Hadia was killed, and the president's wife went to the funeral. And what I'm asking is that a whole lot of our innocent children are being killed in Chicago. We're seeing it all across the country, and our hearts are just filled with despair all across the country. And I was wondering, as a filmmaker, what are some? We had a filmmaker on yesterday, a playwright. We had a filmmaker on yesterday, and you as a playwright, what kinds of things could a playwright do to combat these killings and all these tragedies that are going on with our young people? What kinds of things? Everybody has to, you know, do something in their own skill. And I was wondering, what would a playwright do in this respect? Could you tell me, my sister?
Sister, let me explain something to you. There's a brother, he's in Philadelphia. His name is Akbar Abdulaziz. I was married to him for 20 years. He has movies. He's grown beyond the plays. He has movies. He has one movie. Well, one is in Kim's hand now, and one is in Alicia Keys' hand now. And he wants Khalil to star in one of his movies. And he has a movie called The Day the Hood Stood Still. I can't wait till it get out. You know, I don't know.
I just got to say,
I don't know what we can do, you know, to get it out there, you know, but I'm working like in the community, but he's trying to work on a larger scale. You understand what I'm saying? He's trying to reach.
Sister, you know what? We'd like to have him on our program. And as we make a national tour with people like you, people like Sister Khalil Ali, we're not going to sit idly by. We're going to go to the south side, to the west side, to Compton on the back of a pickup truck and speak to our people. And, you know, we can get these big screens and we can show those movies right on the street and pick up a collection. We got to find new ways of combating Hollywood with new wood.
And another thing, sister, I want to say.
Alhamdulillah. Ooh, I got chills. New wood.
Go ahead, sister. What you gonna say, sister?
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to say that when I was at the convention, we had met the sister whose son had made what was that? Muslim.
Muslim. Yeah, Muslim.
It's a movie. We had talked to her and sat with her. A very beautiful sister. That was her son that made the movie. and what and all I'm saying is that there are ways, you know, people have contacts, and there are ways, and a lot of times we don't have to go to Hollywood. We can just bring it right to our community.
Right.
A lot of times, you know, we can't look to Hollywood to, you know, Hollywood is hollow. We can't look to Hollywood to help us. We have to go to our own neighborhoods to help our own people. And so with that respect, I thank Allah that he made that. I thank God that he made that movie. I mean, so that we could see African-Americans doing something other than trying to please, you know, the people in Hollywood. You know, we're trying to up
right.
Yes, ma'am.
No, I don't want to go to Hollywood. I remember years ago, sister, the brother told me when we was married, we was married for 20 years. When he told me, he said, we are the entertainers that entertain the entertainers. You understand what he's saying? He's saying they need entertain. They need teaching.
That's right. That's right.
But you know what? A lot of times, a lot of these schools that I'm going to speak at is going to be influencing or try to put an insight on these youth out here to give them the ideas to do their own films and put it in these youth's hands and show them that they can make their own films of something positive from the neighborhoods and from the sister. Because, you know, if you look at Jane Fonda, the Caucasian friend of mine who made movies on situations like, you know, the power energy and the nuclear energy, anytime something would arise in the world, she would go and have writers to write movies to feed the source of that situation. So they can be aware of it, because people are not getting education on what's going on in the world itself. They keep the information hidden. So
that's
true. So a lot of these young girls and boys who have these talents that's coming up in the schools and colleges now, this is why I want to spread some kind of seed in their heads to have them to have ideas like this. Because they're young, and you have the technology now. You've got the computers. You can almost make a movie with your own phone for right now. I mean, you know, you see YouTube. You see how people making stuff for YouTube. It's easy to make movies now. You just have to have the kind of source and some kind of, like the sisters say, connection to a source
that
can produce these films. And I think the future is going to have more and more of these films. Like Muslim and everything is going to start coming out. Because there's a couple of movies that I have in my head that I wrote one down, and it's about the good and the bad, and, you know, it's what's good and what's bad, and it helps these young people along the way. We have to try to put these in our young minds right now so they can grow up and make these films and stuff. We're getting old, so we gotta leave some kind of seed here before we leave, so they can come up and have the knowledge that we have, like what the sister has in her mind, you know, and put out these films and give these positive messages. You know what I'm saying?
I just wish, Kalila, that you know that the play that we're doing, A Devastating Impact. You know, it's also in book form on Amazon.com. It's also a movie. You can go on YouTube.
Sister, will you give us the website information so we can people can contact you? Website, give us YouTube, give us all the ways we can access you.
Give us the information, sister, so people can go on Amazon. Give us the information.
Okay, it's called A Devastating Impact. And it's in book form on Amazon.com. You go on YouTube and you put in A Devastating Impact. You look for Yasmine Brown. Hit Yasmine Brown and you'll see a trailer of the movie. Okay. If you want to contact the theater, we're called the Theater of Creative Consciousness of the Arts Inc. You can do that through Sister Khalilah's website or through the Theater of Creative Consciousness at yahoo.com. Let me see what else. What else? Brother Akbar, he has a website. I don't have the information because it's on the phone and I'm on the phone. So I would love to, Brother Imam, I would love to next week have him call in as a guest, Khalilah.
Yes, well, Sister, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Contact Sister Khalilah. She's going to be producing the show, starring in the show. I will be the spectator, and I'm going to have a bag of popcorn and some potato chips.
Oh, dude.
I'll give you some barbecue sauce and send some heat up to Miami.
But I'm really interested in the sister that called in. Are you still on the phone, sister? Is she still there?
No, she's gone.
Oh, because she was very valuable. You know, she acted like she was ready to go. You know, I pray she call in again next week because
we wind down the show at 7:07.
She's a motivator.
To
you
take
know,
over.
I think she has some ideas to share.
Sister Isla, you have to make the brother over the show now to give us the last commercials right now.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Brother, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am. Next Sunday, President Wallace D. Muhammad, the president of Moss Cares, will be my special guest at 3 o'clock. On Religion Means Alive. I'm going to interview him. He's going to be on. You can call in. It will be the 17th of February, and we would like to announce the Savior's Day, Saturday, February the 23rd, 2013. The venue is the Chicago Marriott Airport, 6520 South Cicero Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. Discount lodging rates at the Into the Mosque Cares, 800-956-2606. The doors open at 11 a.m. The banquet starts at 6. The program is from 10 to 4. And our Juma will be Friday at the Mosque Cares building, 929 West 171st Street, Hazelcrest, Illinois. And the khatib will be Imam Abdul Karim K. Muhammad. You can go online to WDMMinistries.com, phone 708-679-1587. Make checks payable to WDM Ministries, Special Events, P.O. Box 153, Madison, Illinois, 60443. There will be a new Africa Marketplace, $25 for the Savior's Day program, $75 for the awards banquet, and the new Africa Marketplace will be $50. Set up at 10 o'clock. And people who have plays, people that have books, people that have movies. And let me tell you something. We are building a movie industry among us. We're developing a cultural entity among us. So, you know, just as the African people have a thing called Nollywood, we're going to develop our own Balaoyanwood. We're going to have our own theater. So, you know, Sister Khalilah is going to be starring in it. We're going to make her bigger than Mae West because she is greater than Mae West with us. You know, Carmella Monroe ain't got nothing on our people. So we're going to build that, and not only will we entertain ourselves, we will entertain the world. We will not entertain, but we will educate the world. Now, you know, you all got a half hour. I want to hear more about the devastating impact. I want, sister, we got another, we paid for it, too. We ain't got it on a credit plane. We got another 21 minutes. So y'all can rock and not roll.
Alhamdulillah. You know, Khalilah, this is so motivating. Thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate this. Is so Akbar is going to be so excited because he really needs this. This is a brother that that's been struggling, man. Who, you know, he's the cousin of Richard Wright, who wrote Native Son. He's a nephew of Ellsworth Wright that got Harry Belafonte and Sidney Poitier on 42nd and Broadway on Broadway. You know, and he's been struggling. He got more plays than and movies than Tyler Perry. He's ready. You understand? this is very, he's going to be very excited to be your
guest. I just want to tell y'all, you know, we had the chilling circuit. We had the buttermilk circuit. But we're going to make the bean soup circuit. And we're going to have, like Tyler Perry and all these, the theater, they go to this town and that town. Sister, get ready to get on the bean soup, bean pie circuit.
Okay. Did he love?
That's good.
That's right.
That's the nutrition of the year.
Well, I'm so hyped up now. I'm just walking back and forth and back and forth. I don't know what to do with myself. This is beautiful.
Beautiful,
this is
yes,
so inspiring.
Mm. This is a beautiful thing. Beautiful. We have a lot of beautiful people out there just trying to better our community and trying to find sources to keep them in check and keep them happy. And it's a beautiful world out there, and it's a beautiful life out there. And we want to show these young people it's happiness out there. It's some beautiful things other than just going to clubs and every week smoking and drinking.
No.
That's fun. I mean, people get up, had hangovers and can't work the next day. How can that be fun? Because, I mean, how can that be fun when you get sick? You get sick and your headache, and that is not fun. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good things in life that doesn't entitle you to smoke or drink, okay? And it's a beautiful world, and you know your senses, and you can have a happy time. You go to sleep, you wake up, there's no hangover. It's just nothing but fun, and you can have endless amount of enjoyment by doing the right thing. Doing the right thing that doesn't harm.
And coming to a devastating impact by doing the wrong thing. Camilla, you know, I went and stood on the corner one time and with these youth, and they were selling drugs. They didn't know whether I was a detective or who I was. They didn't even care. I stood there for almost over an hour till they finally noticed me. They say, "We ain't doing nothing." I say, "Oh, you ain't?" I said, "What you doing?" "Oh, we just selling a little something-something." I said, "What's a little something-something you selling?" They say, "Crack." I say, "What is crack?" They say, "Cocaine." I said, "No, baby, that ain't no cocaine." I say, "If that was cocaine, you could smell it from here to the corner as much as y'all been selling all day. Cocaine have a scent. That don't have no scent. What is that?" Wait a minute. Let me ask my friend. He calls his friend over, right? He said, "Man, what's in this?" He said, cocaine and bacon powder and I forgot that other stuff they put in it." I'm looking at these children. They was children, you know. And I say, "You mean to tell me you're out here selling your brothers and sisters something and you don't even know what you're selling them?" Guess what these children told me? "We ain't doing as bad as Washington Heights." I said, "Well, what is Washington Heights doing?" "They selling ice." I said, "What is ice?" They say, "When you smoke that, if you smoke too much, the inside of the brains inside of your head explode." So this was some years ago, right? Since then, I've been going in the stores. I see ice candy, ice soda, ice this, ice that. I got ice chapstick. I'm collecting everything that says ice. You understand what I'm saying? Because they're getting ready to drop this ice on these children that's smoking crack and kill them.
Yep.
And right. I tell them, that's why I'm saving it, so I can show them. I'm not even talking to them. I'm not just talking the talk. I'm going to show them.
Yeah.
And then when they go in the store, now once I mention it, they'll see ice everywhere. Ice beer, ice this, ice chewing gum, ice this, ice that. And well, see, that's how they introduce it to you. So it'd be ice candy. So, you know, even for the little ones. And then when they give it to them, they say, "Oh, it's just ice," and they smoke it, and boom, they're gone.
So when I saw those breath mints, it says ice breath mints. That was the start of it, huh?
Yep. Yep, that's it.
Said ice. I go, "Oh, my goodness, you got breath mints?"
They haven't dropped the ice on them yet. They're dropping the idea on them.
I know.
It's subliminally.
They got some places that do have the ice already.
Yeah, Yeah, they got some places that
people
are
already. People have already stopped doing that stuff already.
Yeah. You know, this is devastating. And they after the children.
Right, they have to get to the children.
They after the children, Khalilah.
Yes, ma'am. That's the target.
That's the target.
The target.
That's the time. I pray to Allah that he let me just live a little long. I can help them. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got so much information. War of Deen Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him. Open my eyes to so much. I don't have no veil over my eyes. Khalil, I see it. Mm-hmm. I see it plain as day.
Yes, ma'am.
I see it, my sister. And I know you see it because I see how hard you work.
All in the struggle together.
Brother Imam. Allah listens to those who praise him. And you know, we say that in our devotional practice called our Salat. And you know, Allah heard us. And, you know, we're going to beat the scheme of Satan. See, one of the things that we need to understand is that since they put the President of the United States in a positive image, Sister, the President's wife,
Michelle.
Sister Michelle, Michelle, the Satan has worked even harder to undermine our young people's hope. But, Sister, when we have sisters like you, Sister Aziz, sisters like Sister Khalil Ali, we're going to beat them. We're going to beat that scheme.
You know why, right?
You know what God says? He said the scheme of Satan is weak.
Yeah.
So if we're going to beat it, to use a colloquial expression, I feel you. I heard you loud and clear. And I was just telling my wife a few minutes ago, I said, with a couple of hundred people like you in this country, Sister Khalil, and that spirit, that's the spirit of Harriet Tubman. That's Rosa Parks' spirit. When we bring that back, the Sojourner Truth spirit, the Betsy Ross spirit, it's going to turn this country into a living paradise.
Brother Imam.
Yes, ma'am.
When you said that during Black History Week, I used to perform Harriet Tubman in Chicago.
Yes, ma'am.
The performance of Harriet Tubman in Chicago over there at the mansion. It's called the mansion, and it has down in the basement in the mansion in Chicago. It's a building that has a community services in there. They have the Underground Railroad. You can see the tile, the rock, and everything. And I performed right in that building, right under where they had transferred the slaves through there throughout through from downtown, from downtown all the way to the south side. And I did it every year. It was a beautiful presentation I did, and I've always played Harriet Tubman every year.
Well, I tell you one thing. You're not playing her. You're channeling her, you know, because that spirit is in you. And see, that's what we have to do. We have to have that same spirit that those people had. See, Sister Clara Muhammad, she had that spirit, and she has that spirit. So, you know, people said the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, nothing late about him. He's right on time. And we're going to take that spirit, and we're going to turn America into a heaven on earth.
That's right, and it will be.
Brother Imam, back in when I was 20 years old, I had an Underground Railroad. I housed the Rams. I housed the Panthers. You understand? And I was on the fourth floor of this apartment building. I didn't even know about Islam because I was a teenage girl, and Islam wasn't out there then. You know, I guess that's when Elijah, may peace be with him, was in Detroit when they first came. Or maybe they were still in Georgia. But these brothers went out on the roof, and they drew the star and crescent, and I didn't even know what it was on my roof.
Hello?
You know? And then a lot of them, they went to South Carolina, and they got all shot up in blood. I seen the blood. It was in the ceilings, on the wall, everywhere. They was dead. you know, I really had an Underground Railroad, you know, because they couldn't. I was blessed because I was about 19 or 20, but I knew how to wire and solder. I know how to read schematic or blueprint. I was doing panels in the front of wiring panels on the front of the airplanes.
Oh.
Yeah, and so I was making $5 an hour. That was back in the 50s. That's big money, you know. So I used to make sure they ate, and I slept on the floor. I had wood chips in the floor. The first black crucifixion was chipped in my floor by Joe Savage. He's passed now. May Allah be pleased with him. Billy Paul, all of them, you know, so... I know about the Underground Railroad, you know, and we're still there, you know, and I taught in Sister Clara Muhammad school system, and I wrote the only play, it's called The Sister Clara Muhammad Story, and through Khalilah, may Allah be pleased with, oh my God, Khalilah. You remember?
Yes, ma'am. It was beautiful.
Yeah, but it was through you because Khalilah called to Chicago and she had me speak to the Elijah Muhammad's grandchildren and they was giving me information about stuff I didn't know about Sister Clara and Brother Elijah and I just, you know, so I had valid information in this play and it's a great play.
Yeah.
It's called The Sister Clara Muhammad Story.
It was very touching, too, because it showed the Elijah Muhammad and the kids, and it was a beautiful play, beautiful school play. And we were singing songs, and it was really nice.
Yeah. I went to all the schools as a fundraiser. I wanted to do that for the schools as a fundraiser. That's why. Well, Law know best.
We have a lot of sisters and brothers out there that are thinking in the same wavelength that we are, and they're praying and hoping and struggling, trying to do what they have to do for our communities and our future. There's a lot of us that thinks the same way we thinking, and they're out there, and
I know
it. We struggle too, and we want to at least take. Give blessings to all of those out there just trying to help children, help the community, help our pioneers, which is the older people. And we just want to say thank you and blessings be upon all of you out there that's struggling in the cause of a better life and a better world. And we just wanted to know it's not in vain. We know we can feel you out there, and it's a beautiful thing to know that we are not alone. We are all here together as a team working, struggling for a better community and a better family. So just keep all I can say is keep up the good work, keep religion in your life, keep God in your life, Christians, Muslims, and Jewish people. And all these people who are out there looking out for one another, we need more support to help one another, network, whatever our information are, try to spread that information and, you know, team up together, network each other, and try to do things. So, Brother Imam, you got any more commercials?
Everybody listen to the broadcast tomorrow. I'm praying to Almighty God to give me a message for us. We're going to be talking about business. Now, one of the things that we're interested in talking about, the sister Aziz's, her movie and her husband, ex-husband, Brother Akbar's movie. We had a young brother on yesterday that has made a movie. See, we can develop our own industry. We can create thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of jobs in the film and the acting industry. And I'm not joking when I said we can have a bean soup circuit. We can rent a school. We can rent a hall. We can rent Symphony Hall. We can rent the Regal Theater. And we have a theater festival for 3 days.
with films and movies come by. I want to make a national tour, a national circuit to address our people. You know, have Sister Khalila Ali address our people. Have Sister Aziz address our people. We will do a community revival. We got to have an alternative culture, an alternative lifestyle. We have to turn Philadelphia back to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love from Philadelphia. You know, we can't continue with what happened in Chicago last year. Well, we had 502 murders. You know, we got, Chicago made 502. I think we already got 40 murders already in Chicago. Now, what about the poor little girl, Hadia. The president's wife had to leave the White House and come and comfort us. Now, we got millions of African Americans on the South Side. Shouldn't we be out in the street protesting us killing each other? But that's where your play comes in. That's where the new movies come in, to give our young people a connection. Remember Emmett Till. You don't have a right to kill anybody.
Oh, Lord. Don't talk
Isn't
about
that something? You don't have a right not to go to school. Booker D. Washington walked 800 miles.
Right.
I want you all to, we will have available the tape, the DVD that I gave in Chicago. And it's available now. The address is The Emergence of Global Man, The Reluctant Witness. And you can send $10 to Alfred Muhammad, Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. And tell us that you want a copy of that DVD. The DVD will be $10. The CD is $5. But I want each and every one of our Blog Talk Radio listeners to have that, because we specially prepared to show us that God has made us the global people. People in Arabia, people in Africa, people in Latin America are looking to us for guidance. We represent the best of all of humanity, the best of the Christians, the best of the Muslims, the best of the Jews, and the best of our people for all people. So I'm looking forward to seeing you all tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Establishing Business in the Global Society, and we're going to put a special emphasis on our cultural output. You know, I want tomorrow, I'll just give you a little hint of what I'm going to talk about. Almighty God gave the Arabs oil. He came and let the Indians come to America. They got the Dunkin' Donuts. They got the hotel business. God has given us culture, a new world culture, and we should be billionaires. God has given us knowledge through Imam Muhammad. That's going to bring our billions. Naturally, we're going to fry chicken. Naturally, we're going to be able to cook greens. Naturally, we're going to make bean pie. But we have a life that the world wants, and it will God has blessed us to have something to exchange on the global market, and we will get paid, and not paid partially. We will be paid in full. So I thank you all, and Sister Khalila and Sister Aziz, would you all close us out?
Thank you. Well, Sister Aziz, I want to thank you for coming on the show with us, sharing your knowledge, and we're going to try to see if we can get Brother Aziz. And if you want to, you can tell Brother Aziz, all he has to do is go to, anytime you miss any of our programs, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and go to the search engine and put in Religion is Alive and go to the dates that have listed. And this would be the date, February the 9th, 2013. And Brother Aziz can hear the program that we just did and all the other programs that he liked to be interested in listening to. Brother Imam has so many good, beautiful programs on this show. I've been listening to them, and they're so enlightening and so informative. And then we want to ask everybody, if you want to hear these programs or programs that you missed, go to blogtalkradio.com. Go to the search engine, type in Religion Means Alive, and then you can go to any program at any date they wish. That's what I just want to share with them so they can remember that.
Thank you, Sister Khalila, for having me, and I look forward to Brother Akbar being on the program next Saturday. And to be the will of God, and we go further as we go further, and really make the day the hood stood still a reality.
Yeah, I just might. I have no idea what I'm going to do on my birthday. I don't know if I'm going to come up to New York or go to New Jersey. Who knows? Thank you very much for listening to the program, and just go to the website and check out the former performances or recorded shows that you have missed. Brother Imam.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, my dear honorable audience. Peace be on you. We will see you tomorrow on Blog Talk Radio on Religion Means Alive at 3:00. Good evening to you wherever you might be, and God peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum to my dear sisters.
Alaikum assalam.
Alaikum assalam.